Did you ever see, usually it's like on talk shows or stuff like that where they ask somebody 5 questions?
Thanks for tuning in to the Living Well Starts Here vodcast with Young Onset Parkinson's Network. This is Mel, and I'm bringing you episode one, Getting to Know You.
But I have 5, so. All
Okay,
right, let's
what
get
are your
started
five?
then.
I'm curious.
All right.
Sorry,
Who wants to go
didn't
first?
mean for
All
count that there.
right.
Oh, I can throw
All
that
right.
out.
We'll start with Esther and then we'll go into Jeremy and then Chris. All right, you ready? Don't think
Okay.
too hard. Just
Are we
don't
recording?
think too hard about this. Just off the top of your head. Best compliment.
Oh, come on, Mel, because anything I say is going to make me sound like a
It's
narcissist.
good because it gives people some insight. If everyone is listening, then they're going to want some insight into like what's inside there.
Okay.
Unscripted.
The best compliment I ever got. Okay, honestly, when I first met my husband, he complimented me on my legs. And to this day, he always says, like, all I saw was legs.
That's
Yeah.
awesome. What about worst piece of advice?
Me again?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get
Worst
one.
piece of advice. Sleep when your baby sleeps. That's so stupid. Like, first, because my first baby slept like
All
24/7,
day,
and then
right?
my second baby like never slept. So, yeah.
It's more like sleep when your teenager sleeps. So that's
Yeah,
gonna
then
be
you become
the
a vampire.
most stress. What about guilty pleasure?
Like, not safe for work or. I
If you were going to treat yourself to something
mean,
that you enjoy, but did not have
let's get
to,
realistic about this.
you did not necessarily, and
Oh, Lord.
a
There
being with
goes
on that one,
the
but
content
yeah, other than that,
writer.
probably, oh, Reese's peanut butter cups for sure. Like,
Oh,
I
that's
when I
good.
when
I
although
need those
this
in the
time of
middle
the
of
year
the
it's
night.
those Cadbury
The
cream
egg.
eggs, yeah.
Ooh, I used to love
There's
those.
speaking of that, there's a recipe for a Cadbury egg trifle I found the other day.
No way. Oh
Oh
my gosh, you have
yes, wait, yes, wait,
to
Ted.
send me
And
that.
apparently in the UK you can just like buy them in the stores. Like they come prepackaged in the stores.
Other countries have better snacks than we do sometimes.
I'm thinking about
True.
asking prom to find some and
That's a good idea.
Venmoing him some money and say, hey, dude, pack these in ice and send them to me.
And some in Broxol. I mean, because I have a cough. What about something that you wish you were better at?
For me, it's always like exercise stuff, sports stuff. Like, I just don't have good hand-eye coordination. Like, I drop things even before Parkinson's. It's way worse now, you know? I mean, I wish I was better with my fitness and my body and stuff. And I can't even, like, I still sh go shoot granny shots with my son. Like, I'm just even
Do
to go like this. I'm like, bleh.
you bowl like this? I bowl like in between my legs, I roll the
I
ball.
am a good bowler. I am an excellent
Oh,
bowler,
that's great.
actually. Yeah, that is one of my hidden talents. And my question is going to be, what are your hidden talents?
Ooh, that's
Oh, I like it.
right, I'll do one more and then we'll switch.
Cross-examine someone else.
Something you wish you were better at. Did I just ask you that?
Yes. But I think you should leave
Yeah.
that in because that's the
I'm like,
best
wait a
Parkinson's
minute. All right, edit that out.
Look, I've got some deja vu there.
Yeah, see, like you can tell I'm a little off constantly. Who would you trade places with for a day? Anybody in the world, living or dead?
Living or dead? Girl, I want to be J-Lo. I
Is
want to be J-Lo for a
it
day.
fun?
Is it for the
I just
fame
want to
or the
be
butt?
all of it, dude. I want to be, there's just so much. There's just so much. Like J-Lo or Mariah, like 50-50. Actually, my best friend's gonna be mad at me because she's like more Mariah person, but I just want to wake up like and be a goddess like that and have people serve me and stuff like that. And then again, I would also probably just like stand in front of the mirror changing clothes all day and just seeing like, oh my God, this looks amazing.
Outfit.
Then I would just like go to Starbucks and start a riot.
Yes. Oh my God, that would be the most fun. I think a celebrity for a day would kind of be exciting. I think. All right, so we'll go to Jeremy. Best compliment.
Best compliment definitely was when someone saw one of my astrophotography pictures and said, "This looks like something in National Geographic." I was like, "Yes." So
Awesome.
I'm like, "Have you, how many magazines have you looked at with those pictures?" Because Hubble's kind of a steep curve to compete against, but I was very flattered by that.
Yeah, that's flattering. And you're like, that was me. And what do you think was the worst piece of advice you ever got?
The worst piece of advice was probably sometimes you have to jump and figure out how to make the parachute on the way down because I'm just not good at making things. So, no, seriously, that's I started a business in 2000 with that philosophy, and it turns out it would have probably been better to be more well prepared and know what I was getting into instead of just jumping and having faith that I could figure it out. So.
Good luck, rest of the world.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What's your guilty pleasure?
It's tough to say because I want to just go to chocolate because I love chocolate. I have chocolate all the time, but I don't really feel guilty about it. So because I keep having like great test results, my blood work and everything is fine. They're showing me healthy, so it's very hard for me to down on chocolate. So I would say if I had another guilty pleasure, it'd probably be just I'm a very driven person who likes to be productive and do productive things. So when I sit down and like veg out in front of videos or just, take a moment where I'm just doing absolutely nothing, that's kind of my guilty pleasure. It's just unplugging, not being productive for a moment, letting myself chill and relax and maybe jump in the hot tub with a beverage and listen to some grunge music from the 90s and yeah, so that would be it.
That's my jam. I would love that. And what do you wish you were better at?
What do I wish I was better at? Probably I think being empathetic and thinking of other people more. I tend to get excited and talk and engage with people, but sometimes I don't take the time to stop up front and just acknowledge like where they're at, what they're doing, how they're thinking, how they're feeling. And I know I can do more of that because I might jump into a conversation and tell a story and realize that someone else, in the conversation's kind of distant and it's because they haven't been called out or included the way they should be. So I
Right.
definitely think about that quite a bit.
Like active listening skills and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, those are, and that's a hard thing. That was something I had to learn even recently because I just it's the New Yorker, you know. It's that tendency to just the way that you take over the conversation is you have to be the loudest one in the room. Then it's
Right.
your turn. Otherwise, nobody really stops. And who would you trade places with for a day?
That's a tough one. I want to say probably Jimmy Choi because I want to get the secret behind all of his workouts and like his intensity of training and just he really inspires me for how he has that drive and focus and I stay pretty committed to exercise, but he's taken it to a level that I would just like to, for 10 minutes, feel like what that brain's like that has that drive and motivation to be so consistent and active the way he is.
Like he's
His
like
survival instinct.
close to like superhuman, right? I mean, like you said, he is just.
He
I, th
really
I
is.
think if I
Well,
think if I if I had access to that motivation and drive, it would probably just crush my body, right? Like I would just, I wouldn't know how to handle it kind of thing.
well, it was
Well,
funny because I was doing CrossFit and I was doing this exercise called box jumps. You jump up on the box and down and can be a certain height. And I had done several sets of it, and I'm usually pretty self-aware, so I would know if I was getting tired. But I felt like it was a perfect jump and it wasn't, and I landed on my shin on the corner and it punched a hole in my shin, pretty much all the way to the bone. And so I was like posting afterwards, like, is this a Parkinson's thing? Should I be more conservative when, and this and that? And Jimmy Choi came back and he said, like, you have a decision, right? You can say, because of Parkinson's, I'm not going to do this, not going to do this, and that's going to add up, and then eventually you're doing nothing. Or you can focus on it and recognize that everyone who's been in a CrossFit gym has probably tripped on a box jump before and just move on. So I was like, okay, well, I mean that's an insight into the drive that he has, right? So.
that's an interesting point. He actually had a rant yesterday that was very insightful. Basically, it was just someone commented that like, you're lucky that you got Parkinson's at this age because you can handle it. And he said, I'm lucky, and he just
That
whoo, he
was
roasted it.
epic. I was
Yeah, he roasted
so
it.
excited. I am here for Ranty Jimmy Choi. I
Yeah, it's
actually
amazing.
don't usually follow him that closely because I would just I haven't really been interested in the fitness space that much. And when that popped up in my feed, I was like, oh yeah, let's have more of that, please. Because, that was a conversation that I was having with somebody that got diagnosed in their 20s the other day. And the whole thing with young onset is we journey with this disease so much longer than other people, right? So while we're not in the majority, we're living with it exponentially longer, and so our perspective is different. You're going through all these different seasons of your life with this disease, and then sometimes you even think back. I mean, I'm sure you guys all do this too, like when your first symptoms started, like how far back you've traveled with it. It's like you had this like hidden passenger in your life. I was at the gym today talking to my girlfriend, and she was like, do you want to go to a spin class? And she had invited me to a spin class years ago. I want to say at least 6 years ago. And I had never taken one before. We used to go to the gym every day, but I never did spin. And I got in the bike and I was pedaling, and then like my right foot came out and the pedal hit my calf, and I remember it like banged it up really bad, like I couldn't walk. And now I know that was Parkinson's 100%. Like that slowness started in my right leg because the dystonia in my calf is today one of my worst symptoms. And so I'm like, I'm gonna work on that. Like I'm gonna get back there. I'm gonna get that strength back. When you look back and you think, oh my gosh, that was why that happened all those years ago, and it blows your mind, So yeah, it's crazy. People always say that. Somebody said that. Actually, somebody with Parkinson said that to me yesterday. You're too young to have Parkinson's again. And I'm like, stop saying that,
So
please.
first
Are
off,
we
we're
old?
not because we have it, right? So that's proof
Yes.
that
How do I
we
return it?
But are we though? Because here we
Yeah,
are.
but you were mentioning that because we used to laugh all the time at how I'd randomly drop things with my left hand, like, oh, so clumsy, and that's the hand that has all the symptoms, and it's like, oh, there was actually something there, but we didn't know what to look for, so.
Mine was always like, where were you on that one hand? Like, well, I'd just be standing there, and it would just be like, I'm like,
Yeah, exactly.
nobody agreed on this. Like, I was not cognizant of this agreement. And that was a long time. I mean, I had orthostatic hypotension in high school. My doctor couldn't figure out why. So, like, it started a long time ago for me, but And Greg said the same thing, like, his handwriting's always been crampy. He's had orthostatic hypotension since his 20s. Like, it's crazy how you can look back and you're like, oh, this and this and this. And I also found a picture of myself after Elena was born. It was Alexis's birthday, so it would have been October, and Elena was born in January, so she's about 9.5 months old, almost 10 months. And I was holding her on my hip, and my other hand. And I guess they took the picture, and I was like kind of in the background because I definitely wasn't posing like that. So I was holding the baby on my hip like this, and my hand was like this, my right hand. So I was holding her on my left
Right.
side, and my hand. But I had no motor symptoms at that time. Like, I had no idea that I had Parkinson's when Elena was born. The only symptom that I had was the orthostatic hypotension that I had for years. And after Elena was born, I started getting really, really tired when I would look at screens, like to the point where it was almost like narcolepsy, where I just, after a while, if I got tired enough, I was out. Like, it was like hypnotism or something. It was really strange.
Yeah, I
And
had a similar thing where I recorded a ton of videos for my job, and I went back and started looking at videos like, do I have a tremor I can't see? And there's all these videos where my left hand's just in the claw position, and just never noticed that, didn't realize I was doing that.
that
And this
was
was like 2 years.
I've had problems with my right foot for so many years, even not even thinking of it as a problem. I love to wear high heels. I've always worn high heels. I wore them every day to work. But I was never, I don't want to say never, definitely not after my 20s, able to wear like a pump that didn't have a strap on it. My right foot would always just kind of like come out of
Didn't
it. And I thought that it was like maybe I had a high arch or something like that. I actually went to a foot doctor, and I just got the habit of wearing straps to hold my foot in. But like all my heels have straps, and I got on this mission like I'm gonna find the perfect shoe that's gonna like
know.
solve this problem for me. And so when I got diagnosed on my walk, I was like, that totally explains it. Like that foot, it just doesn't, it just has never like
It doesn't,
been heel toe situation going on, So it's crazy.
We have no idea.
It felt like, I mean, with like you were saying with that, it always felt like it just didn't feel natural, right? Like you're the way your foot should roll when you're walking, kind of thing.
It's like a little
Yeah.
off.
And it's wild you were saying about like those vi the videos, Jeremy, because we've been go we cleaned out my grandmother's place a couple of months ago, and I automatically just grabbed all the pictures and several VHS tapes that were there. And like you were saying, there's pictures, with my hand kind of, up like that, watching myself then, that was like a whole posturing thing. Like I was We were playing basketball with some of my cousins, and I'm running around with this arm up, like, and I'm thinking, that's not normal for, but it just felt
Yeah, just the
like
way it was.
that.
Do you guys ever just like you're saying posture weird? Like sometimes I just have this urge to just kind of stand like, and I don't notice it, but I notice my husband noticing it. Like he's talking to me and I'll just be like, so and I don't know why this
Exactly.
feels good, but it
Yeah,
just feels better like
that Oh
this.
yeah. I'll be stretching all the time. But the other thing is like pinning my arm to keep it from tremoring. I'll notice like I'm just constantly like tucking it like this or sticking it in a pocket because it's like I just get tired of it going,
Yeah, but I can't do that anymore because when I was working, I did that constantly. I was actually like changed my whole wardrobe to hide it. So I would buy dresses with pockets, which Mel knows are really hard to find. And I would only wear stuff with pockets. But for some reason, women's pants don't always have pockets. They have like
Right.
fake pockets. So I
Andy, that's
started.
it's so annoying.
So I started wearing like, what a pashmina is, like a big shawl. Like I would wear a big shawl And then I would just drape it so it like covered my
That
hand.
works.
And I worked in a clinic, and one day I was had occasion to be in a room with a patient. We were talking about something, and he looked at me and he said, "You don't have to hide it."
Oh,
And I was
wow.
like, "What?" And he's like, "I'm just
That's so
saying,
sweet.
like, you're fine the way you are. You don't have to hide it." And
Wow. Wow.
I left and I just started crying because I was like, yeah, like, why am I hiding this? And plus, also, I started to get pain in my wrist, I think, from all that like shoving in pockets and sticky, you know? And so now I have to let it go free. I have to free the
It's
tremor.
probably more comfortable that way too, you know, because after a while you start to get stiff and it, I did something similar. But I sewed pockets into my dresses. I took the seam
Okay.
out and I actually sewed a pocket. And I don't have a sewing machine, so I would just do it by hand. And those needle threaders are the most valuable thing in my house, I'm telling you right now. And I just sewed very clumsy looking pockets, but you couldn't tell. And then I had these. You know, I made them kind of long so I could put my whole hand in there. Because my boss used to come to my job all the time because she was only 45 minutes away, and she'd just pop in and do like a surprise, like let's just F up this chick's day today. And she would always be like, "What's wrong with your arm? Are you okay? Do you need
Are you
help?" Like
cold?
she's very passive aggressive, so. I tried to avoid the whole, you know, because like I'm like, I don't want to murder my boss. I don't want to. She was just so annoying. So I keep my hand in my pocket and I just, yeah, okay, Randy, blah, blah, blah. We try to hide it as much as possible.
Yeah, I
But
have a coworker who doesn't seem to like be able to grasp it. Like every time I have a tremor, the same person comes up and is like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And I've explained it, and it's I don't know if he forgets or if it just bothers him, but like it's interesting because I try to be very open and explain everything, but just interesting to see. I think sometimes other people are more uncomfortable than we are. Because they
yes,
just don't know how
true.
to act or react, so.
Yeah,
I
that's
agree.
a good point because when I was still working, I would have like just really kind, empathetic people that I would actually kind of start to avoid because I knew as soon as they saw me, they were gonna be like, "Are you okay? How do you
Wow.
feel? Are you sure? You know, are you
Feel
doing, do you
calm.
need anything?" It was like so in, like an intensity to it that I was like, guys, it's a slow, hopefully slow progressing disease. It's not
I
like
hear you.
it's gonna be big drastic change since I saw you on
Right.
Tuesday. You know, like we need to
You
like
take one shot and then you
lower the
feel.
energy and just vibe. Just like let's keep our normal vibe. That was the thing that bothered me the most. It's like I just want to like fly under the radar. Let's just vibe with this. I don't want to be like the center of attention all the time. I don't want everybody to feel like they got to check in on me all the time. Like it's not that serious. Like, can we just like talk about the
Right.
My favorite phrase is pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, because that could
Mm-hmm.
be anything. That could be like, you know, like I'm a mess. Don't look at me. That could be like, don't look at what Parkinson's is forcing me to do. You know, like paying attention to the man behind the curtain. Mr. P is going to do what he wants to do. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. Also, my
So
other coping mechanism is the Parkinson's shirts. Not just the Parkinson's looks like me, but like anything that says Parkinson's on it. If I feel like I'm going to be uncomfortable, I will deliberately wear one of those shirts and work it into my wardrobe.
yeah, I do that too. I do that too. Like, I just feel like it takes a little bit of the pressure off, you know? Like, when I go to the gym, I have like a Parkinson's Foundation water bottle and a Parkinson's Foundation t-shirt. And and
Tattoos.
Chris is showing his dopamine tattoo. It's a little
Oh,
niche though.
nice.
It's a little niche, Chris. I don't know how much the people outside the community know.
Greg has his on his ankle.
Yeah. Oh, that
Not
one's.
dopamine, but
I like that
nice.
one. That one's.
I've got this one. Because my original platform was suicide awareness, so I got
All
there.
right, guys, are we showing tattoos? Is that what we're doing?
Well, no, it's not after 9 p.m. yet.
It's
Wait, I
park after
can't
dark.
twist my arm
Really
the right
takes
way.
off.
I mean, if we're going to show off tats, we need to get DC Bricks involved. Is that
Why
doing?
we need Shirkuk to come and show his your name tattoo. All right, Chris, you're my one question. Best compliment. Come on, you can do this.
Okay. And this was from a former coworker friend. I mean, I've known him forever. It's basically, it was like he knows things and knows, how did she put it? He knows things easily and fixes things like automatically.
Oh, I like that.
Because when I noted it was, she said it much more poetically though, but it was something along those lines. I mean, this was
kind of
when I
like
was working.
you're like a go-to guy, like, you know, you just.
No, yeah, I mean, I was working IT in the school systems then, and that was, you know, something be wrong, and they'd say, I'd just come in and it's done. So fixes
Oh,
things
okay.
effortlessly. That's how she said it.
Oh, that's good. That's good feedback. Somebody
That's
told me
awesome.
once, consistently consistently aims goals low and fails to achieve them.
Even before Parkinson's, like I have always had like zero self-esteem, right? Like
no.
No. Yeah, surprise, right?
He won the most modest man in the world award.
but it was one of those things. I mean, I would, and you know, I spent, gosh, we did several therapy sessions, and that was one of the things we were discussing about. And I finally came to the idea. I was like, part of it, like I wanted to be confident, but I didn't want to be like, you know, obnoxious or
Right.
Sure.
You know, like that, and it's that, it was that line. So I just automatically was just like, you know, and she was like, you know, you need to watch and notice how you talk to yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hear that, you know, realize this is what's happening, and then try to correct it. It's tough, but I mean, I've been doing better, I guess you could say.
Chris says.
Accepting compliments a little bit better.
Yeah, that is like the best advice I ever got many years ago, was that you have an inner dialogue, and we
Oh,
listen
yeah.
to our thoughts all the time. And
Yes.
you know, it seems weird, but the notion that I could actually change that dialogue just hadn't occurred to me. And I would get depressed and fearful and all these things. And when I started listening and just steering my inner dialogue in different directions, it really made a huge difference with how I you know, go through each day. So
yeah,
I'm glad you brought that up.
My mother is 93 years old now, and she's just a really amazing person. And all people, when you get to, you know, that age, they always ask you, like, you know, what was the secret to living this long? And she has a very specific philosophy about talking to yourself. I mean, not out loud, but that she's carried her whole life. And she always said, anytime we were sick or feeling bad, she would always tell us, like, tell your body that it's going to be okay. Tell your body to heal itself. Talk to yourself, you know, say good things, positive things always to yourself, and try and be happy. And it's just, I remember growing up thinking, like, what kind of wackadoo
right.
nonsense is that? But the older I've gotten, the older I realize how important that is, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Really
I mean,
scientifically studied, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
you
it was
literally can change your outcome. You can change your outcome of every day.
Self-deprecation and self-deprecating humor. I mean, well, I mean, that's kind of my go-to. But
yeah.
but it is part of that, like you said, it's part of that changing your inner monologue.
Yeah, because it does two things. It changes the way you think about yourself, but also when you speak like that, it teaches people how to treat you. So if you think it's okay to treat yourself that way, then other people who may or may not be, in your best interest to interact with will end up treating you that way as well. And that's something that, like, I only learned recently. I didn't grow up in a family that had a lot of boundaries and stuff like that. Everyone just kind of ran roughshod over each other, and learning that, like, I can influence the outcome of my day just by getting up and saying, today's gonna be a good day. That was amazing to me. And Chris, you've met Alexis, and you see how bad her social anxiety is. Like, we're like moving like one unit when we go places, because Lalina's not too bad. She gives me a little bit more space, but Alexis is like,
She wraps her arms around your neck and dragging you through wherever kind of thing.
And like, now she's older and she's developing, and she's like, I'm like, you're hitting me with your boob. Can you not? Can you
Yeah,
see over a little bit? You need a little bit more space now. But it is. That's one of the best things that, like,
I think having kids has made me so much more aware, like self-aware, in the sense that I'm, especially with Parkinson's, I'm thinking about how I'm going to be looked at in the future. Like what are my kids going to be thinking about when they look back at me in this time? And how positive I need to stay, not just for myself, but for my family,
Sure.
And it's a lot of pressure. I think it's, I don't think it's
Is.
good to put too much pressure on yourself that way, but I do try and I do feel like it motivates me, right? Because it's like, what did I do with this time? I better,
Right.
have fun. I better make good memories. I better like just do it now. And I say yes to a lot more stuff than I used to, and I don't put up off stuff the way that I used to for that reason.
Yeah, that time is so huge. I think of how much time I spent like what if and worrying and not doing things that I could have saved. And this is not a judgment on people who are there, right? It's not, I don't want to imply it's easy to just shift your thoughts. It's a
Is.
process, and it's something that, I had help with. And so I have the deepest empathy for people who struggle with that. But just know that it is possible to make an effort and make a change, and that change will buy you more time because you seek opportunities to experience life rather than dwell on the experiences that you can't partake in, right? So.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's one of those situations where, like, I saw something recently where they said that people spend their lives in fear of being hurt, so then they don't try. And if life was one of those things that you could guarantee that you would walk out of it in the same condition that you walked into it, more people would do more things. But as humans, we're kind of geared towards, having as many experiences as we can, because we realize that our life is temporary. So I think in that, it's balancing that fear that something's going to go wrong with the desire to live better.
I had so much fear in the beginning with this disease of just like I said earlier, with people seeing my tremor or how people perceive me. Now then, when I got on the medication, like, am I going to go off? Am I going to have access to water to take a pill? What if I forget my pill? That happened. Like, I changed purses once and I didn't have my meds, and that was a nightmare. And my husband came to me one day, and he was like, he's like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And it just, I'm like, well, I would just, people would look at me, or I would just tremor, or whatever the outcome would be. And he's like, so what? So what? And it shifted my thinking so much. Like, if he would have said that to me 5 years ago, like, it would have made me so mad. But now I'm like, I'm so much more receptive to that kind of thing. And that's what I tell myself all the time. Like, I'm an overthinker. And so I'm constantly like,
We all.
worst case scenario everything. But then after my brain does that, it's like, so what? So what?
Yeah,
And
there's a
right.
different way.
And that's just such a better way to live for me.
I'm kind of that guy too. Like, all right, well, let's just do it. It's
Yeah,
time.
and like you said, being out and about and doing things, like my worst, it's the sweating, right? It's the excessive sweating.
Okay, yeah,
And when I
sure.
say excessive, dude.
You are self-conscious about that.
Oh my, well, you've seen it, right? I mean, it
Thanks
literally looks like somebody just dumps water over my head.
for
And I'm out and about doing stuff while this is happening, and I'm like, are these people going to think I have some kind of, super bug, super flu or something, or is it the plague, or
nervous.
yeah.
I was actually at an award ceremony yesterday. I had a nomination at work,
Yes.
and I was sweating so bad just in my t-shirt. And I'm like, I hope I don't get this because I do not want to walk up there covered
Right?
in sweat. And I
Oh
didn't.
gosh.
So it was good. I got my wish. But yeah, it's definitely a concern. I mean, especially like when you're apathetic about certain things and in your life, but then you stop to think about, hey, I have to be around other people, and how are they going to perceive? Like, I probably let my shaving go a little bit more than I used to, and maybe look a little rough around the edges. But it is what it is. So I'm glad that the people I do have as friends and colleagues accept me as me, and don't expect me
Right.
to be more. So.
And I try to, if I'm out in those situations, I do try to like use it as a some type of educational, like a teaching moment kind of
Sure.
thing. I'm like, yeah, as I'm, my shirt's soaked and doing this, and I've got, the Bounty Select-A-Size paper towels are the greatest thing ever. But yeah, it's one of those that just, I am very conscious about it, but like you said, there's nothing in the moment I can really do about it. No. Y'all so cute.
My mom told me to give you a kiss.
Oh,
Oh.
his mom told him to give me a kiss. You should always
All
listen to your mom.
You should always listen to
right,
All right, Chris, worst, we do best compliment, worst piece of advice. Could be anything. It's hard to drag up that memory. I feel like this is kind of a good exercise sometimes too, to kind of just, force you to
Self
think.
reflect and yeah. Yeah, worst
Worst
Reflective
advice. I mean,
memories.
it's keep your feelings bottled in.
Oh, okay.
I really think that because it, I tend to just, anything happens, I just kind of, shove it down and,
Wear it on your sleeve. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It
Just
doesn't even
shove it
make it
down and
that
don't.
far, right?
Yeah.
I basically come across as like emotionally dead inside kind of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, that's, I don't remember, like I don't remember who said it or when. I mean, I was younger when I heard it, but that's just one of those things that it's like, and it's not, it's not the male, ego, we can't cry, we don't show emotion kind of thing. It's just, I think I got it about, I think it was just, I think it was just like a coping mechanism almost, right?
Yeah. You learn how to eat it,
Yeah.
instead of burdening other people with it,
Right,
you just
right. Yeah,
eat
that's the big thing is like, hey, I'm gonna save these other people by not putting my
it.
problems on them. But the truth is that I found out that some people close to me, that hurt them because they wanted me to be open so they could have access to how they could help. And
Right.
with that perspective, it helped me become more like, especially with my wife, just communicating. Like, guess what? Today I feel nauseous and I've had a headache all morning. So if I seem like I'm grumpy, it has nothing to do with you. It's where I'm at. And it just helps us so much now that we're like so much more open with that.
That's a
Well,
good
Andrew said
point.
that she's told me many a time. She's like, I need to know how you feel. And I'm like,
You guys are pretty good with that.
right. And I mean, we're good, but it's like, I don't know a lot of times how I feel other than, like you said, just irritated, just frustrated. I just, apparently I've got like my default Parkinson's facial masking is that I'm angry, Chris.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
So she
you know,
took down Chris.
I was like, we've been together 20, 24 years, or yes, no, 24, yeah, 24, 25.
Ooh, you should go
Almost,
watch it.
yeah, almost a quarter. Now I'm clipping that part out.
I was like, you better edit this out.
But I mean, but we have like kind of the nonverbal communication thing, and which is nice. But like when she said that, I was like, have you really known me ever to be, you know, angry kind of thing? So,
She can
yeah.
pretty much read you. You know, when you're with somebody a long time like that, I would hope that to some degree you could read each other. You know, with my relationship, Griggs and I, our relationship is newer, so like, you know, we need to work better on communication skills because I apparently don't I don't communicate well by just like saying everything that I feel at once because that feels like an
Right.
attack, you know. And sometimes he's more like he's just kind of like more chill than I am. I'm like a freaking chihuahua, and he's like whatever it is that just kind of lies in the corner and just does what he's got to do. Like everything
I think
else.
it has to be that way, that we can't both be angry raccoons, right?
Yeah,
Right.
one of us has, I'm the rabid one. He's the one that's had the inoculation. But you know, like this morning, he was just tired, and he was just a tiny bit salty, like just an itty bitty bit salty, you know. And it was just really amusing for a while to just kind of see him. He's trying to make something to eat, and he's banging around cabinets and stuff. Like, you all right? So
Well,
communication. See, I think,
and
I mean, communication is so important, but I think I have the opposite problem when it comes to Parkinson's, because I'm just like, I feel like this, and now I feel like that, now I feel like this, and this is
yeah.
hurting, and this is, and everybody's like, we don't need to know your whole life. Like, it's a little bit too much, you know.
Oversharing.
So I like, that's how I was in the beginning, so I pulled it back a lot, but I do try and make sure that I voice things very specifically, you know, because you know your care partner doesn't know what it's like, that what you're going through. And so I might say like, I don't really feel good, and my husband would be like, well, go lay down. And I'm like, well, you know, that's the worst thing for me to do is to go lay down. Like, I'm gonna feel way worse. Like, I need to get moving to work out, you know, a lot of my symptoms. And so he helps me with that, and it'll kind of drag me out of my space to, and you know, there's something about somebody asking you though, like how you're feeling, that for me is just like, it's not as natural as me just, you know, kind of giving that intermittent update, like what's going on with me day to day, good, bad, or indifferent, like check-ins, I guess, are more what I find that works for us better, you know.
And my tone and inflection, I don't realize it. That gets me into trouble a lot of times too.
Oh yeah.
Because
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I mean, she's like, "Why are you so mean with that?" I'm like, "I'm what?" I was like, "I'm not
Yeah.
trying to be, but
Because
it
it comes
just
across as flat, you know, sometimes you just
right."
seem flat at you, but you know, people with Parkinson's, and then you're just like, I've explained to even to the girls, like sometimes it's gonna sound weird in my voice when I'm talking to you know. So like if I sound like I'm not listening, I am listening, and if it sounds like I don't care, I do care. You know, I just
Right.
can't get the inflection in my voice. And Elena, you know, being special needs, like that just, so she doesn't really
Sure.
pick up, you know, too much on that. And she's a little bit more intuitive, so it's easier for her, but it works well for Alexis, you know. And the other
Well, I
day she had to
know.
ask me a question, and I guess I was still thinking about, oh, she came up to ask me a question, and I was about to yell down to her a question. So when she walked up to me, she said, "Hey, mom." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, and I was like, "Oh, I was still stuck on trying to
Right.
yell down to you, and my brain didn't catch up to the part where you were standing right next to me." And she's laughing. She's
Yeah.
like, "That's so weird." It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like coming how much you share in your workplace is like a topic for it could be a whole discussion.
Oh yeah.
But for me, just where I'm at in my career and how I am with myself, I went ahead and put a signature in my email with an explanation that says self-disclosure, I have Parkinson's, and it links to a blog post where I explain what people can expect, because I noticed people were thinking I was scowling on calls when my face was just going numb and that my voice was. So I explained all these things, and it's amazing how many people actually took the effort to actually click and read. So they'll get back
that
to
is
me.
That is amazing. Fantastic. I have never heard that before. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
I'll have people schedule a meeting and say, hey, if you prefer to, you know, type over Teams or do this, you know, in a different way if you're having an off day, like, and it's just been transformative. So I was happy that I made that. But again, the decision to do that is very, you know, I think specific and individual and based on your environment. So
You know, I didn't realize that my voice softening had gotten as significant as it had. And I had noticed it at work. Definitely people would like lean in when I was talking more or ask me to repeat things. But my husband is a very laid back person. Like, he's not one to get upset about things. But one time we were having a discussion about something and I got frustrated and I was like, you're not listening to me, you know? And he turned around and he just said, I can't hear you. Nobody can hear you. And I had a realization in that moment, like, this is a real problem, you know? Yeah. And I mean, that was years before my diagnosis, but I look back at that and I think that was probably for me one of my first symptoms was that softening of my voice. And so I have a speech therapist that I work with every week because the inability to communicate like that, it impacts all your relationships. And I don't think people recognize how people had told me now that they thought I was standoffish or maybe a BITCH or aloof or something. And I'm like, it's just my face. And also probably I will like try and interact with people sometimes like, hey, but they don't even hear me, you know, and they wouldn't turn around. And I just felt invisible, you know? And so like my speech therapist is always like, you got to speak out. You got to speak out, you know? And I'm like, yes, we must reclaim our voices.
With intent. Jeremy, if you need to drop it, it's cool. We'll just wrap, you know, this part up.
I gotta go do some stuff too.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, we need to ask you questions too. So.
Yeah.
Yep. That'll be the next session, right?
Okay.
I didn't finish Chris's either. We'll try to do them quick. Guilty pleasure.
I mean, I like Esther's the frozen Reese's cups, or binge watching like 90 Day Fiancé or you know that whole
Love is Blind. Love is Blind.
My dad and my grandma watch that all the time. My dad tells me about it all the time. It's actually pretty cute.
Garbage TV, there is a place for it when your brain needs communication.
That's a total pleasure. Oh, what's something you wish you were better at?
That's tough.
Well,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of the default to go, the go-to. I mean, I was actually going to say, like, you know, like, well, complimenting myself, I think, right? Just
that's a good answer.
That whole like allowing myself to understand the fact that if, you know, if I go out and help somebody do stuff, it's or they ask me to do something, it's because they know I can do it, right? And then they're like, oh, you know, and it's like I go and I do it and they're like, oh, you have no idea how thankful I am. And I'm like, it was nothing, literally.
Yeah.
And that I think, and it's like we were talking about with that self, that internal monk.
Yes.
It is a process and it takes time and work. So.
And it's hard when I got into the habit for a very, very long time, you know, cause I had bad marriage and abusive marriage, you know, like I had Stockholm syndrome, like it just goes in. That whole thing could be a book. Macabre. But accept compliments, because I used to look at the floor, because if I didn't look at the floor, then I was looking at something else and it would get me into things that I didn't want to get into. So it took me a long time to learn how to accept a compliment, you know, and it took me a long time to learn how to learn that the things that I could teach people and the way that I could interact people had value. You know, I spent a long time like hearing like, you talk too much, you know, you're a lot, you've got too much energy. So learning how to do that is so empowering, you know,
It's work. I mean, it's daily work. And that's why I always love your posts, because it's like that daily reminder to, you know, be kind to yourself first. Like RuPaul says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen?
That was my point for many years, was like, you can't love somebody till you love yourself. You know, I remember saying that to my ex-husband, and my ex-husband was like, well, then I guess I never loved anybody. And I was like, you know what? That's sad. He told me that after, you know, we split up. And I said, well, that's sad. I hope that you learn how to do that, but not really. Because, you know, I hope you learn how to do that, but not really. Let's see. Music of the pleasure. Last question. Who would you trade places with for a day?
Living or dead, right? I mean,
living or dead. It's a tough decision, because there could be so many, you know. Greg and I the other day had this whole conversation about like two people, living or dead, that you'd like to meet, and you know, like I said, Dolly and Frida Kahlo. You know, not because they're both artists, but just because their lives were so odd, and they were so angsty, and I want to know what's behind that brain. But there's so many others that you can name.
This is tough. Like, I mean, part of me wants to say, like, I want to swap out with, like, the, you know, like the first person that found ice cream, or, you know.
Yeah, and what did they think? How did they feel?
Yeah, I mean, or I don't know.
First person to walk on the moon, or you know, the first guy to try out the wheel.
Right. I mean, it's along those lines. I mean, would it be Julia Child?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Julia, when she is. Like young Julie, when they first moved to France and she first starts, you know, culinary school kind of thing.
That's a good.
I've always just, and as she says in her, you know, you can't be afraid. Just go and do it.
For years, she was such an old soul.
Either that or one of my cats, just to see what it's like.
I'd love to know what a cat thinks, just in general.
And cats never have to, like, yeah, I walk around and, you know, people feed me. And...
they're just so spastic, you know. I'll give you my answers real quick. You know, we did this once before, but I didn't really think about it. Best compliment I ever received from somebody was from a guy that I thought was kind of like eyeballing me in a Dunkin' Donuts, because he did one of those like up and down kind of things. And, you know, of course, being from New York, I just kind of looked at him like, what do you need? You all right? You know, like one of those, because like now, like, you know, I'm engaged, I'm on my way to work, and I'm like, man, I don't want to deal with this right now. And he's kind of like a, you know, alternative looking dude, like a lot of piercings, a lot of facial tattoos, a lot of body tattoos, like just tattoos everywhere. And maybe not many of them were probably professional. So he was a different sort of guy. And instead of saying like some snarky thing, nasty thing, you know, sexual comment or whatever, he was like, someday your voice is going to make people feel better. And millions of people are going to hear your voice. And it's going to help. And I was like, and I looked at him and I was like, my job was about to close. You know, I worked for Motherhood Maternity. They were going out of business, you know, and we already knew it. It was 2019. I knew that I had some kind of neurodegenerative disease, whether it be Parkinson's or multiple sclerosis or both, or something even more awful and insidious. And I looked at him and I was like, you're crazy. And he was like, I see it. It's in your aura. It's in your, and you know, throughout all the hocus pocusy things. And I still remember that because just to think, even if he wasn't right, even if it's not real, even if these things can happen, like for somebody to look at me and believe and just have absolute faith in a stranger, that a stranger could walk into a room and make people feel better. And that stranger was me. That was, to me, that was fascinating.
That's pretty intense.
And very flattering. Yeah, it was actually intense. And I had a conversation with him, and his girlfriend was pregnant, and they were super nice, and I felt like a jerk for judging him from the beginning. But when somebody, you know, does one of these, like, you know, that's usually a different conversation. The worst piece of advice I ever got was don't try. Like just stop, just quit. You know, like, I don't like when people tell me to quit. I'm stubborn. I want to keep going. Sometimes I tell myself to quit. Sometimes the worst piece of advice comes from me to myself, and I have to not take my own advice. That's why we like you to stay here. Guilty pleasure. That's a hard one. Sunshine. Sunshine. Nothing makes me feel better than going outside. It's like the whole world lights up. My favorite thing is to go out into the woods in a spot where there's a lot of trees and the light is kind of just filtering into the forest, and just listen to the quiet, because there's nowhere else in the world that you can hear everything and nothing at the same time. I think it's pretty cool. God, I'm very disconnected. Something I wish I was better at: communication, accepting compliments, parenting with Parkinson's, all of those things. Time management. Oh my gosh, time management.
I don't think that's that you can be.
I don't think time management is a thing. I don't think
it's
I don't think it's real. I think time management is made up by you know, district managers who want to keep you on task. And who would I trade places with for a day? God.
I mean, God is a good answer, right?
God, yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, somebody asked you what your favorite song.
Existential question. Somebody who knew my mom. I would trade places with somebody who knew my mom, you know, yeah. One of her friends or somebody that was close to her before she passed away, because I've lost a lot of memories. You know, my mom passed 35 years ago, be 36 years this November. So I think that would be fascinating, to just trade places with somebody who knew my mom and have those first person memories, to kind of see what she was like before I knew her, because I only knew her for 13 years, and that's a very short time. I'm very blessed because my sister only knew her 6 years, and she doesn't remember her at all, so I figure that would be a good trade-off. The other question was what makes you laugh? And for me, that answer would have been everything.